Acts 20.
Amen and amen. You young people, y'all listen. And I'm going to do something for you tonight. I'm going to do like Elizabeth Taylor did her third husband. I ain't going to keep you long. Amen. Acts chapter number 20. I'll catch on to that in a minute. All right. Some of you kids might have to go home and Google it. Don't let me catch you Googling it in church, though. All right. Acts chapter number 20. I want to read one verse, and we'll give you some thoughts the Lord's put on my heart for tonight. Acts chapter 20, and verse number 24. The Bible says, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." I'm interested in that very first phrase, "But none of these things move me." But none of these things move me. Will you bow with me in prayer, Father? As we come to your word tonight, we thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. The song that was just sung, you love us with a love that won't stop. We don't deserve that, but we're grateful. And God, we're thankful for all you are to us and all you do for us. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look into your word the next few moments. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd challenge us, change us, convict us, Lord, where we need to be convicted. And God, help us, Lord, to be worthy, walking worthy of the vocation where we've been called. God, touch us tonight. Help us. We'll thank you for everything you do. Do it for your sake, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul here writing says, but none of these things move me. I'm interested in these things. He said, but none of these things move me. I just got a few simple thoughts from my heart tonight I want to share with you about these things that Paul did not want to move him. He said, but none of these things move me. The word move, if you were to look up the word move, you would find something like this, that the word move means to impel, to carry, or to draw from one place to another. To cause, to change places or posture in any manner, by any means. It could also mean to shake or to agitate. When we think of moving something, you understand that if I was to move this chair, I would come over here and I would slide it or I would pick it up and I would physically change it, transfer it, translate it from one position to another position. I would take it from one location to another location. And Paul said, but none of these things move me. He is in the midst of his departure and telling the church at Ephesus goodbye. We looked at the first part of that last week. And as Paul is speaking to them in verse 24, he draws it down in verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. None of these things will cause me to go from one place to another. None of these things are going to move my location. They're not going to shake me and move my position. And I say this as a child of God tonight. I don't want to be moved. There are some places that I don't want to be moved from. And I believe if you was honest and you had a heart for God, you'd say that you don't want to be moved from these places. If we're sitting here tonight, just share a few thoughts. I don't want to be moved from the Savior's place. I don't want to be moved from the things and the places that the Savior is interested in and that He is working in. I don't want to be moved from the Savior's place. I don't want to be moved from a scriptural place. I don't want to be moved from a place where the Word of God is made much of, where the Word of God is preached. I don't want to be moved, taken away, repositioned away from the Word of God. I don't want to be moved from a spiritual place, a place where seeking God's face is made magnified, where seeking God's face, seeking to hear from God. I don't want to be repositioned, relocated out of a spiritual place. I don't want to be relocated from the saints' place. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen? The church is the only organization that Jesus Christ is going to build. And He said, I'm building the church. He didn't say, I'm building the local clubhouse. He didn't say, I'm building a ball team.
name. He didn't say, I'm building a recreational center. Or he didn't even say that I'm going to build whatever you want to call it, 2017 slogan of the week, worship center. Jesus said, I'll build my church. I want to be around the saints of God. I want to be where the church is. I don't want to be relocated from the church. I don't want to be relocated to a selfish place. I don't want to leave the church. I don't want to leave the Savior's place, the scriptural place, spiritual place, the saints' place, and go to a place where it's got to be my way. I don't want to leave the church. I don't want to leave the things of God because I want to sit somewhere and do it my way. I don't want to go to a secular place. I don't want to leave a spiritual place, a place where the Word of God is magnified, and go to a secular place where people have humanistic thinking and they don't magnify the Word of God. They don't want to worship God. They don't care about God. I don't want to be relocated from the things of God over to a sinful place. I don't want to leave the church house. I don't want to leave the things of God, the Word of God, the worship of God, and wind up over in the world and be in a sinful place like Lot. I don't want to be in a sorrowful place. You see, if you leave the things of God, the Savior's place, the scriptural place, the spiritual place, the saints' place, you go to that secular place, that selfish place, that sinful place, you'll wind up in a sorrowful place. And you'll be like Lot and you'll vex your righteous soul from day to day. What is it? What is it, preacher, that would relocate me? What is it that we could say, I'm not going to let these things move me? Paul said, but none of these things move me. None of these things that Paul was dealing with. None of these things that he was facing. What is it? What are those things? And I want to give you a few things that I don't want to let move me. That I don't want to let reposition me, take me away from the things of God and take me out in the world, take me away from the place where God's ministering to me, where God's ministering to my family, and take me over to a place that eventually is going to lead to my regret. What is it? Let me say, as we was looking at the text in verse 22 and 23, Paul's talking about the things that's going to befall him. And he's talking about the bonds and the afflictions that abide him. Can I say, number one, I don't want to let painful things move me. I don't want to let painful things move me. You understand that as we go through life, we're going to face persecution. There's going to be times that people arise against us. I'm talking about people from without in the world. They're going to rise against us for our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to hurt. It's not going to make you feel good when they stand up and cuss you or when people oppose you. It's not necessarily the greatest feeling in the world. But I don't want to let those painful things. Hey, listen, when the people that you thought you knew, when they say things or do things that hurt you deeply, I don't want to let those painful things move me from the things of God and take me away to the things of the world and the place that's going to be a regret. I don't want to let painful things move me. I don't want to let personal things move me. Personal things move me. You know, it's easy to wear our feelings on our shirt sleeves and to have it on our cuff, and we come to church and maybe we're not exactly in the right frame of mind. Maybe we've been stressed out. Maybe we're dealing with something, and we come to church and somebody says something, and they said it innocently. They said it really probably flippantly. They didn't mean anything by it, but because of our mindset, because of our perspective at the time and our attitude, we just wasn't really prepared. And they said something, and I took it personal. And I let that thing cut me, and I dwell on it. I don't want to let personal opinions, I don't want to let people's personal opinions take me out of the house of God. You know, there's probably thousands, maybe more, people that were at church one time. They were serving God. They were around the things of God. But somebody didn't like their dress, or somebody said something about them or their children, or somebody said something and it didn't make them feel good, and they took it personal. And it moved them. I don't want to let personal things. And there's a temptation. There is a danger there that it could very well happen, even in the church. We could take things personal. And I don't want to let prideful things take me and move me away from the things of God. Prideful things. Things that when it doesn't go my way in the church and I say, well, I didn't get my way, or they didn't paint the walls my color, or the carpet wasn't my color, or whatever it was. They didn't sing my favorite song, or they didn't ask me how we should run the service. And pride creeps in. You know, Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. And see, really, and honestly, the mark of a spiritual-minded person, the mark of a humble person, is somebody that says, you know what, it don't have to be my way. I really don't care if you paint the walls purple. I don't care. I didn't come to look at the walls. I come to worship God. If the church decides to paint the wall purple, I know we're not going to have purple walls around here as far as I know. But it's a prideful person that would let that move them, or they didn't get to do something, and they say, well, I didn't get to do this, and I didn't get to do that. And it's pride that creeps up. We're not careful. And I don't want to let prideful things. And if we're all honest, we're all human. We all have the same thing. And we all like to have things our way from time to time. And it's very tempting at times. It's very possible for us to let pride. You know what got Satan kicked out of heaven? When he was Lucifer? Pride. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will. And God said, I'll tell you what, you will. You will get kicked out of heaven. Pride. I don't want pride. You know what? Pride can ruin friendships. Pride can ruin a church. Pride can ruin relationships. I don't want to let pride take me from the place to say, well, you know what? I did something wrong. Somebody confronted me. I quoted the verse this morning, open rebuke is better than secret love. But you know what pride will do? When somebody rebukes you or when somebody confronts you with things in your life, pride will say, who are you to tell me? Who are you? Who do you think you are? And pride will say, I think I'll just leave here. I'm going to follow God. No, God was in open rebuke. It's better than secret love. God was in somebody dealing with you about something in your life, and it's pride that drove you down the road. And so I don't want to let pride. I want to be careful not to let pride in my life. Fourthly, I don't want physical things to move me. Physical things. Now, we can look at physical things in two different aspects. I understand that there are some people that have what we would really on the top of our mind think of as physical things, a broken leg, an incapability to walk, or deathly sick, and they say, well, I can't get to the house of God. No, you can't get to the house of God, and we can't help those things. We can't help it when our health will not allow us, give us the ability to do things. But you know what? You may not be able to get to the house of God, but you can still read your Bible and pray. You can still pick up a telephone. Amen. But listen, when I think about that word physical, I was more or less thinking about this. The Bible calls it carnal. Carnal is things of the flesh. Carnal, when the Bible speaks of carnality, it's speaking of the opposite of spiritual. Spiritual-minded man is bathed in the Scripture, is in the Word of God. The spiritual-minded man or woman wants to know the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And so the spiritual-minded person is filled with the Spirit of God. They are engrossed in the Word of God. They want to know it. They want to learn it. They want to live it. But on the flip side, the carnal-minded man, the carnal individual, is minding the things of the flesh. They want to please themselves. They say, this is me and mine, and I want, and I want, and I want this, and that's why they go out and endeavor in the things of the world, and that's why they flirt with the world, and that's why they wind up in the world. It was Lot that pitched his tent toward Sodom because his eye saw it, and he saw that it was good down there. And he wanted to go down there. And it's a temptation that we battle to please the flesh, the fleshly desires. Every one of us have fleshly desires. We didn't, listen, when you got saved, your fleshly desires didn't get eradicated. You have fleshly desires. I have fleshly desires. What we have to do as a child of God is be filled with the Spirit of God and bring them subjection to Christ. And as we bring these thoughts, these temptations, and we bring them to the Word of God, and we say, God, what do you say? And we'll find out what we ought to do and what we ought not do. I don't want these physical things. In other words, I don't want to say, I'm going to leave church and get out of the place where God's feeding my family and where God's helping me and where I'm worshiping. Hey, listen, I'm going to just be honest with you. Church is a good place in my life. Church is where I learned about Jesus. Church is where my parents got saved. Church is where I got saved. Church is where I met my wife. Church is where I married my wife. Can I just say church is a pretty good place, if you want to ask me? I don't want, and listen, church is where I go and I I can worship the Lord. I can sing praises to His name. I can gather with the saints. I can gather with you tonight. I can be encouraged and edified around the things of God at church. I hear the Word of God preached, and sometimes I do the preaching. Sometimes I listen to the preaching. Sometimes, listen, we come to the house of God, and God just gives us exactly what we need. I want to be in church. I don't want to turn my thoughts and my desires away from the spiritual and turn to the carnal and say, well, I just think we ought to have family night, and we don't need to go to church anymore. Listen, that vacation's a vacation. Everybody needs a vacation from time to time, but nobody needs a vacation 28 times a year away from the house of God. I don't want the physical, the carnal. I don't want that to draw me. If we're not careful, we get so engulfed and wrapped up in the things of the world. Before little by little, before long, we don't even realize it, and we're not even in church. We're not even serving. We're not serving God the way we used to serve. We're not where we used to be. We're not doing what we used to be. We're not around the right people. And then it changes who we are and the way we act. I don't want physical things to take me. I don't want problem things to move me. You know, we all deal with problems. Be honest, we all deal with problems in life. Galatians 6:5 talks about it, brother. He said, let every man bear his own burden. We all have burdens. Every one of us have burdens. I have burdens. You have burdens. We've all got burdens. If we're not careful, we'll get to thinking that we're the only one that has a burden. And we'll say, well, I'm not going to serve God anymore because I got a burden. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I got a burden. Matter of fact, I'm going to kind of hide over here and stay away from everybody because I don't want anybody to know that I've got a burden. I want to give you a newsflash 2017. Burdens. We all got them. We all got them. There's another verse in Galatians 6 that talks about we're to bear one another's burden. I can't bear your burden if you don't share with me that you have a burden. We all have burdens. Don't let a burden take you, say, well, I got a burden. I must not be in favor with God. No, you may have a burden because you are in favor with God. Maybe He's trying to strengthen you. Maybe He's trying to teach you. And instead of running from God, maybe you ought to draw nigh to God. James said, draw nigh to me. God said, and I'll draw nigh to you. So tonight, we're as close to God as we want to be. So let's don't let a burden, let's don't let a problem. Many times Christians, problems come up in their life. Sicknesses, physical problems, family problems, lots of problems, church problems. Instead of drawing nigh to God and saying, God, hey, listen, I love you, and we want to draw nigh to you. We need your help. We need your encouragement. We need your instruction. We need your direction. Many times, if we're not careful, we'll turn our back and we'll walk away from God when we need Him the most. I don't want to let a problem thing carry me, move me, translate me, change my location. I don't want to let passing things move me. I don't want to let passing things. I'm talking about things that's not going to last. You know, there are some people that they deal with problems, they deal with situations in life, and they allow things that are temporary, temporal, not going to last long, to take them from the place where they are. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse 17, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul said the things that we deal with in this life, the things that we see with the physical eye, they're not eternal, they're temporal. So don't let the things that's not going to last long, the things that's going to burn up, the things that's going to be fleeting in time, don't let them take me away from concentrating on being around the things that are going to last forever. I don't want passing things, things that will be momentary in nature. I don't want them to take me away from things of eternal value. Number seven, I don't want prophetic things to move me. I want prophetic things to move me. You know, the Word of God, there's much prophecy in the Word of God. But none of the prophecy in the Word of God is given to you as a Christian to scare you. Now, if you're lost, if you're not saved, prophecy may scare you. talking about the rapture and the second coming and what's going to take place after the rapture on this earth. If you're not saved, that'll startle you. But if you're saved, that'll encourage your heart. That you ought to look at prophecy and say, God said He was going to do this, and He's already done this. And He said He's going to do this, and He's already done that. And so when He says He's coming back, and when He says there's going to be a tribulation, and when He says it's going to get worse, and when He says He's coming back the second time, that'll encourage you to say, He's already fulfilled all these other promises. I have no problem believing and putting my confidence in the fact that He's going to fulfill the rest of His promises. I don't want to let prophecy move me. There, you know, there's a lot of people today. It's a growing trend in our day. There's people sitting around. They claim they're studying prophecy. And they have no use for the church. They have their little studies. They get around and they're saying they're going to set a date. They're going to draw this conclusion. They're going to come to this. And they're looking at so-called prophecy. They don't have any use for the things of God. There's people that look at prophecy and they get scared to death. Can I help you tonight? Can I tell you that the Bible told us in 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also in the last times, He said, in the last days perilous times shall come. When you get up in the morning and you turn on the television or you look in the newspaper and you see all these wars and commotions and you see all the riots and you see all the disease and you see all the hunger and you see all the hate. When you go to church and hear the bickering and the fussing and you go out in the world and it's even worse. And you go out, can I say you ought not be alarmed? What you ought to say is, yep, God said this was going to happen. Perilous times going to come. Perilous times, troublesome times, dangerous times. And sadly, many people get to these troublesome times, and when they ought to be drawing nigh to God, when they ought to be seeking the Savior's things and being in the place of the Savior, being in the place that's scriptural and spiritual and being around the saints, when these prophetic things, when He's drawing nigh, when He's even at the door, they move. They change locations. You know what the Bible says? 1 John, I believe it's 1 John 3. I can't remember if it's verse 3 or verse 4. I believe it's verse 3, 1 John 3:3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. In other words, if you have the hope of the rapture, you have the hope that Jesus is coming, He's going to give you a glorified body, you have the hope, the confidence, the promise. He said, if you really got that hope, you're not going to run from God, you're going to run to Him. You're not going to neglect the things of God. You're going to draw nigh to Him. You're going to want to purify Himself. Get clean. Why? Why, preacher? He's already promised you He's coming. He's already promised you some things. I don't want these things to move me. I don't want anything. To be honest, I give you seven simple things tonight. I don't want anything. If you can find another thing, put it in the list. I don't want anything to take me from the Savior's place to take me over. Oh, a place of sorrow. A place that one day I'll regret because I used to walk with God. I used to be in His Word. I used to. I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to wind up over here. And I've known probably hundreds of people that used to be over there in the Savior's place. And tonight they're in a place and they say, and they're beating themselves up really, and they're in a sorrowful place. And they say, I remember when I used to go to church. I remember when my family used to be involved in the things of God. I remember when my kids used to want to go to church. But now they're over here and they're thinking, I made a mistake. I let a thing move me. I let some type of thing get in my life. I let something move me from there. And it took me down a road that I wish I'd never been down. And tonight they're in a sorrowful place. A place of regret. It pays to serve God. It pays to be faithful. Paul says, so that I might finish my course with joy. So that I might finish my course with joy. I don't want to just finish. I said this last week. I don't want to just finish, but I want to finish with joy. I don't want to let anything, any problem, any person, any persecution, I don't want anything it keep me from not only finishing, but finishing with joy. And by God's grace, we can. By God's grace, we can be true. And we can serve God and keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and be like Paul. But none of these things move me. Father, take Your word. Bless it in Jesus' name. Use it for Your glory. God, help us tonight. Oh, God, do for us what only You can do.
We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart, you need to come tonight. Mind the